The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Bar, this time for UFC San Antonio. We're heading back to Texas for a massive bantamweight bout. Marlon Chito Vera taking on Corey Sandhagen. Gonna be fireworks. Cannot wait for this one. Jed, UFC 286 in the books. How we feeling, man?
I'm feeling, well, great from that, I gotta be honest. We're going to get into the San Antonio card. Apologies preemptively to the listeners. I have so little action on this card.
I don't think you need to apologize for that if they're winners. I mean, we gotta say,
I make no promises on the winning.
You can't make promises. Gotta say, I mean, this is the No Bets Barred card. Like, this was tailor-made for
us. It really does have a lot on them. But I know you had a tough 286. 286 was my
tough
best
2023. I mean, can I just say it's been tough a hard 2023. I need to see one go through the hoop, man. I like going into Saturday. This will be my venting session. I don't really like to do it too much on the MMA hour. Going into Saturday, if you had told me I was going to finish down 5.5 units, I would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, nope. I did so much tape study. I was very careful, kept it tight, only risked like 12 units. And sure enough, I ended up there. Ended up down 5.5 units. The bad run to start 2023 continues, down like 16 units on the year. It is it's tough sledding to start it out.
It has been a very, very difficult year. But I had a good week. It was my best week of the year by a lot.
Let's go.
Units.
Let's go. That helps me. Seven. Let's go.
Seven. So I originally wasn't, but then I was up so big. Like, I was already locked in for a win. So then I threw a shot on Leon, which obviously ended up paying off. So it was the Chris Duncan parlay just cashing by the skin of its teeth. It was a bunch of good times. So it was a rare week.
I did not foresee D1 Duncan coming out, man. I was
Neither
pretty shocked
I.
by that. Was not
I wasn't
fun to
sure
watch.
He won that fight either.
Yes. I mean, 30-27, according to Paul Sutherland, was actually pretty shocked. Was not fun watching that. Having a fight does not go to a decision. I mean, he managed to get dropped at one point. He managed to do that, but still found the scorecards and found the dub.
Found it. And that's why I'm not getting too high, because had a good week betting wise, but a couple of those came, you know, I had Marvin Vettori by decision.
Oh yeah.
I know many people did not agree with that particular outcome.
Yeah, I actually, on the watch party, we do the chat bets, and the chat bet was Marvin Vettori by decision. So I was actually on that, you know, a small amount that I do for the chat bets.
Yeah.
And as soon as they said 30-27, I was like, oh, Roman, sweet. Like, Georgian MMA, let's go. And they were like, Marvin. I was like, I don't know about that one. I did not know about that one.
That one, I had Gaethje too, which, you know, I think is less controversial
less
than the Sunday after, but certainly 30, there were
I mean, the 10-8. The 10-8, I still just
very weird scorecard.
I mean, dude, he, like, low-key, he was kind of on skates in that first minute. Like, Fazeev came out hot. Like, the fact that that got a 10-8, but Romanov against Tybura did not is madness to me. Now, here's the thing.
The thing is, that wasn't even the worst judging scorecard from that fight. The judge who gave Gaethje the first round is just so, that's an awful score.
Yeah. I thought it was Fazeev 1-2, Gaethje 3, Fazeev get his hand raised. But like, I don't really have any complaints about it, despite having Fazeev.
It's a close fight. Yeah. It's the thing. I thought I scored a Gaethje 2-3, but I would have had no issue if Fazeev took it. And that's kind of how several of them were. And I just happened to come out on the right side of most of those betting wise. So still cautious, which is why I'm heading into San Antonio with so few bets. I'm not feeling myself yet.
No. I'm going to need to be fully in the green before I start feeling myself again. I can promise you that confidence is at an all time low. I really think through these things before I hit place bet. I can promise you that. I really think through it. And there are a lot of spots this week that I thought through it, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to fire away. Because to be totally honest, don't love this. Don't love the card, period. Like, we are propped up by a sick main event that I cannot wait for.
Main event's unbelievable.
Not that much beyond
Everything
that.
Everything else is pretty bad.
I saw someone tweet, and I'm actually on no money lines. I saw someone tweet this, and I very much agree. It was, this card has a lot of untrustworthy favorites and a lot of dogs with very little bite. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of...
That's a good tweet. I don't know who said that, but shouts, because I like
Yes, I should have retweeted it. I felt like I saw it maybe when I was riding on the train and I didn't have service. I should have retweeted it. Great tweet, though, because that's how I feel about this card. I'm on all props, and I've got 7 bets, no parlays. And I don't know if I'm going to get around to a parlay.
This is fantastic. So we have what would appear to be a very similar card lined up, because I'm on no straight action, though. I have an either or bet that I want you to, when we get to it, but I'm going to make 1 or 2 bets, and it's either going to be a prop bet or a straight bet. And I just want to help you talk me through it. But then the rest of it's all props. I have 1 parlay. I think I can talk you into this parlay, because this feels like a parlay that's up your alley. But
there's a couple of parlay pieces out there that I was thinking about.
There are a couple, and that's why I was looking at this card and I messaged you. I was like, man, I'm gonna have like 5 bets on this freak.
And that's okay. That's okay, because guess what?
I have 3 flyweight unders, and then
There's always going to be another card.
Some of these dogs.
There's always going to be another card. That's what you got to remember on weeks like this. There's always going to be another card.
Just 2 weeks away. So
yeah, 2 weeks away. Muhammad Mahayev, the man who hates flyweight unders. He hasn't come out and publicly said it, but he's done every actions speak louder than words, and his actions say they actually demand that he hates flyweight unders.
A certified enemy of the state at this point. I think we had said that he was a person of interest. There's a warrant out for Muhammad Mahayev at this point.
He says that he didn't want to tap because, you know, he couldn't deal with the pain of losing. I just don't think he can deal with cashing a flyweight under. I think he just hates him that much.
That might be true. He made a mistake in his first fight in the UFC. He got too excited to cash one immediately. And then he looked back on it and was like, never again, never again. So I think at this point, he may not be fighting for like a year, given what happened Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
But the next time he fights, he may have carved out an exemption to the flyweight under rule.
Yes, which would be take him to go, not to go to a decision, because he does have 2 finishes post the 2.5. I think he's going to rush back. I think he is so determined to become the youngest UFC champ ever that he's going to rush back.
It's That's what it sounds like. And that's a terrible idea, but it's his life. So
it is his life. And he's got a year.
How
so.
You feel, see fit, I suppose. But enemy of the state.
Enemy of the state.
How are we feeling? We got three. We have three this week, which I knew we had two for whatever reason. The Salvador Altamirano fight just kind of slipped my mind as one. Yeah. I was like, oh, we got three. Are we feeling, how are we feeling broadly about the flyweight unders this week?
All of them have great potential. All of them have great potential. The only thing that I don't love is that I was forced to take a 1.5 on the Da Silva fight. I mean, that just, you can't play, unless you're just going to lay like -600, you can't play 2.5s anymore on Da Silva.
Is that just entirely gone? Because I saw that it's not up on DraftKings. I was just going to wait for it to drop.
The 2.5?
Yeah, the alternate fight line.
Oh, you're gonna, what are you going to do? Put it in a parlay? It's going to be like -400.
Is it really going to be that big? Jeez.
I mean, his fight doesn't go to a decision on some books is -700 right now.
Holy buckets. Well, I guess we're taking out of the under 1.5 then. That's fine.
Yeah. I did get the 2.5 on the other two. We can get into it. Each fight has a flyweight under warrior on there. A man that has been kind to us. I mean, that is
true. It's true.
Each one. We'll get into it. Let's dive right into UFC San Antonio, though. Recap 286. Time to move on. Winning week? Bust out of the slump? Maybe.
I mean, maybe. Like picking our spots, being really tight, you know.
I don't even have 10 units of exposure this week. I love it.
Oh, I definitely don't have 10 units of exposure this week, so it's great. Even if it's, you know, not even going to say it. Don't even put that juju out into the world. Love manifest it. The winning week. That's what we're here to do.
That's what we're here to do. It feels like I'm doing it every week now. I mean, I just got to see one go through the hoop. Into the UFC off week, heading into the pay-per-view. Just got to see one go through the hoop for the month of March, please. Need it.
Yeah,
need
you
it.
Just break the seal. You get it. We get to take a week off to settle in, you know, get ourselves back to square one, and then we come out guns blazing for April.
Yeah, yeah. Though there is Game Bread Boxing, a Bellator card, the first PFL card of the season, and Anthony Joshua is fighting, so there's a good chance I will have a bet or two down heading into that weekend.
I mean, almost certainly.
Sure.
But, you know.
Main event, bantamweight bout, Marlon Chito Vera taking on Corey Sandhagen. Right now, you can have Corey Sandhagen for -165, Marlon Vera coming back +140. Over-under is set at 4.5, over -155, under +125. How are we feeling about this, man? I mean, love the fight.
I mean,
love the fight.
Just an unbelievable fight. This was, when I started looking at this fight, this is when I knew it was going to be a tough week. I think the line's pretty good, man. Like, I think the line is right about perfect. And so it's really tough. And when you kind of look at the guys, there's not a lot. It was really, I wanted to find a bet I loved here. And I just simply couldn't. There's so much going on. The thing I've settled on for a bet, and we can talk about the fight itself. My issue with picking a side here is I love Marlon Vera. He's one of the most fun fighters. I think that this isn't a great stylistic matchup for him. I think Corey Sandhagen is way too durable and can simply outwork him over 25 minutes. So I think Marlon obviously has looked sensational the last few years and could always land something, but Corey's been finished once. It was Aljo taking his back and sort of bulldozing him in a way that I don't think anybody anticipated. He's been in there for 25 with Piotr Jan. It's really hard for me to imagine. So in that case, I'm having to look at Vera's going to win this fight, not by like landing one finishing maneuver, but by just sort of landing the more substantive strikes over the course of 25 minutes. Even if he gets outpointed or outlanded, he will land the more damaging blows, a la the Rob Font win.
Yeah, he's gonna have to make it look like that Rob Font win. That's what you're saying is exactly what I have written down. Is this going to be the volume of Corey Sandhagen or the damage of Chito Vera prevailing here?
Yeah, my issue is I think Corey Sandhagen is better than Rob Font, particularly mixing up. Like, Rob Font's got great boxing, but Corey Sandhagen can is a little more dynamic, got a little more tools in the shed. And so I think he'll just be able to land more, and the strikes he will land will maybe not be as powerful as Vero, but he's going to land, you know, 1.5 to every one. Still feels like that favors him. So I have circled down, like, maybe I take a dog bet on Vera, but I don't think I'm going to. The thing I settled on to place a bet on this fight is the over 2.5. Just using it as a parlay piece, it's -335. And it's, like I said, Sandhagen's been finished the once. Vera's been finished 0 times in his career. It's, these two dudes are going to be throwing a lot. They're going to be landing a lot. It's going to be great offense and a great fight to watch, but they're both really terrible. And we're going to see the championship rounds in this fight. I'd be pretty surprised if we didn't. So just taking the over 2.5 as a parlay piece. And that's
like where your head's at.
That's the only thing I could really find on this fight. What about you?
I'm essentially in lockstep with you. I mean, like, both these dudes, the toughness of them. Cheeto, 30 fights in his career, never been knocked out, never been knocked down in the UFC, never been subbed. Like, he is the epitome of toughness. Sandhagen, the same thing. You mentioned at the Aljo, just like bulldozing is the only time we've seen him finish, and I doubt that happens here. What I did, took this on FanDuel, fight starts round 4, -210.
Okay,
so,
but, yeah.
Like an alt over. Essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at their fights,
it's a functionally very similar bet to the one I'm making.
Very similar. Very similar. Yeah. I mean, 5 of Cheeto's last 7 would have hit that. Sandhagen, 5 of his last 8 would have hit that. And just pairing these two dudes, their ability, I think.
So, sorry, just to clarify. So, sure. Of those, the 5 of the last 8, since it's start round 4, are you just anything that went to a decision in a 3-round fight?
Okay. I'm just assuming they would go to a 4th round if they went to a decision, yes.
Just wanted to make sure.
Nice clarification there. Just pairing these two dudes with their ability together, I think it's just going to be a banger. What you said, I think it's going to be sick offense. What I did do to have a little fun, little sprinkle, I don't know why, just a little something whispering in my ear.
Ooh, vibes. Love
little vibes bet. I don't know why. It's also the line, Cheeto Vera by decision, +650. Small poke, little quarter unit. Ooh. Just tossed it out there. Don't hate it. Like you said, you like Cheeto Vera. I like Cheeto Vera. Seems chill.
I'm going to join you on that for just a little quarter unit.
Just a little something. I think the fight's going to go long. I think it could be really close. I think Vera's going to be turning it on as we get into the championship rounds. There's a world where this thing goes to the scorecards and we're sitting there like, man, I don't know who won. Texas judging. +650. I mean, Corey Sandhagen is +135. Like, that is a massive discrepancy. And I'm not certain Vera is going to get him out of there if he wins. Like, there is a world where he just has the bigger moments. I mean, we saw Piotr Jan drop Corey Sandhagen. I think that could happen here and Vera not finish him.
I love this bet. Calls back again to the Rob Font one. And like I said, like, I kind of want to be on Vera just because I like him. And I think that this is a dog or pass situation if you're betting it straight up. But again, I don't even like the price at +145. So +650 feels like that's worth just a little sprinkle. Love it. I think it's joining you. Let's do it.
Let's go. I think it's going to be fun to cheer on. Quarter unit of risk.
It will certainly be that.
Quarter unit of risk. The longer this fight goes, the more fun I'm having. Unless it's just a demolition by Sandhagen, but I just don't see that happening.
It would be shocking if it was a demolition, yeah.
There's just no way. Like, Marlon Cheeto Vera just has too much heart. Like, he's just too much of a dog.
Too much of that dog in him.
Like, he's just, it's going to be awesome. And if it loses and Corey Sandhagen wins by decision, I can be cool with that because I also like Corey Sandhagen. I mean, these are just two fighters that I like. And it's going to be awesome. Like, perfect way to end the night. Very much looking forward to it. Think this San Antonio crowd is going to be hyped. They showed out in Austin. I think they show out here in San Antonio.
I think so. I think Marlon Vera is going to get a hero's welcome, and it's going to be a big night.
Ooh.
So,
ooh, sign me up. Sign me up for that. All right. Let's
now
move
on to other fights that I don't care nearly as much about.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The fact that we only spent like 8 minutes on the main event shows that we're probably going to spend like 2.5 minutes on each of these next one. And that, let's start that.
That might
trend.
Be an overstatement.
Let's start that trend with the co-main event of the evening. It is a women's bantamweight bout. Holly Holm taking on Yana Santos, formerly
Kunitskaya.
Yeah, formerly Kunitskaya. Great to have her here. Here's where I'm thinking on this. Holly Holm -240. 41 years old, in a fight that almost certainly will go to a decision in Texas, I'm just going to pass on it. Just going to go ahead and pass.
I thought you were about to do something.
Nah.
You really head faked me there.
Right? Yeah, I'm just, I just don't have interest in betting either side of this fight.
I am in full agreement with you. If you're betting, I think a very, very small part of me was like, I could maybe throw a quarter on Yana Kunitskaya because Holly Holm's 41 and she hasn't looked good in years. So like at some point, but instead, you know, I was like, this is dumb. I just shouldn't bet on this fight at all. But like you,
okay,
this is almost certainly going to decision.
Probably going to a decision, dude.
It's definitely going long, kind of based on the Holly Holm has not finished anybody since 2017, the head kick knockout of Bechkohea. She's only been finished twice in her entire career. Kunitskaya, or Santos, sorry, not a huge finisher. Though she has been finished a decent amount, but again, Holm is a lot more of a cage clinch stalling fighter these days. I'm taking the over 2.5. Price is at -280, and I've got that paired with the Santiago Vera over 2.5. And I have one more coming up for this 3-leg parlay. The pacifist parlay this week is what we're putting together. So
I might be able to guess what it is. We can get to that.
It feels like we're going to talk about the fight. I feel like you may know where I'm going with it.
But, I think I do. So yeah. Not even really looking forward to this co-main event.
No, it's going to be terrible.
This is definitely side TV, Elite Eight's on, you know.
Shouts to the UFC, though. This is two women's bantamweight fights on this card. There were like 13 women's bantamweight fights in the entirety of 2022. So look at this weight class that they're trying to actually have people fight in again.
Tamira's fight out and Haley Cowan. It's going to be a...
it's the main card, or it's the card opener.
Yeah, curtain jerker. What more could the fans in San Antonio possibly ask for?
It would be greedy to ask for more than that, but because I don't think we're talking about that fight, are we?
No. This is a classic reminder, you know, on these non-pay-per-view cards. If we don't talk about the fight, then we do not have any action on it. That's just a fight that we don't need to spend too much time on. Let's keep it moving, though. On the main card, featherweight bout, Nate Landwehr taking on Austin Lingo. Right now, you can have Nate the Train, everybody, for the price of -225. The line is moving. Austin Lingo +190. Over under is set at.
Great. Song.
Over 2.5, over +100, under -130. Your thoughts on this fight? Seeing Nate Landwehr for the first time in his UFC career, bigger than a -200 favorite, honestly, bigger than like a -130 favorite, is pretty surprising. Especially, I know he beat David Onama, but that was a wild, wild fight back in August. Any action here?
I have no action because I don't have any idea what to expect. One, when Nate Landwehr fights,
He's so wild, dude.
It's just going to be chaos. And so I don't like, in my head, he should beat Austin Lingo, right? But I also don't like Austin Lingo has, certainly in his UFC career, has not been the most dynamic fighter. So I can't even be like, this fight's definitely going to end early. Like Austin Lingo may just try and make Nate Landwehr boring. I don't know if he's going to succeed. I don't have a good read or feel for this fight. It feels like this price is a bit too high for me to feel comfortable with Nate Landwehr though. So I'm out. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything. I thought about maybe Austin Lingo, but I've sort of missed the boat. Cause I want to say Landwehr opened at -300. And has been coming back, like maybe Austin Lingo at like +225, +240. Thought about the fight goes to a decision, but like, man, you talk about feeling alive.
Yeah.
You'd be feeling alive.
Alive bet right there.
Two tough guys. I can see it happening, but man, you're not going to enjoy the 15 minutes. I can guarantee you that. So again, another one. I just stayed away on it.
It's going to be a recurring theme on this card, I think, man, because it's just,
I'm okay with it, dude. I am okay with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the construction of the card, but it's like you mentioned at the top, like there are a lot of underdogs who I'm almost ready to pull on, but just don't quite have enough bite to them. You know, it's just like, okay, I could try and talk myself into it, but I don't feel good about it. So where we are with Lingo.
All right, let's keep it rolling on the main card. A women's flyweight bout. Andrea Lee taking on Macy, the future Barber. Right now you can have Barber for -265. Andrea Lee +225. Over-under set at 2.5. Over -255. Under +205. Is this the fight to finish the pacifist parlay?
How did you know, Connor?
How did I know? Is it because neither woman has ever been finished in the UFC? Most of their fights go to decisions.
I mean, yes, both of those were key critical components. Also, coincidentally, at the time I took it, over 2.5 on this fight was -280, the exact same price point as over 2.5 in Holmes Santos, which nice. I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm just this definitely tying these two together. And then we paired in the Santagin Vera over 2.5. But you take those three, it pays out +139. It's honestly like the only bet I feel good about on this card. So I feel relatively confident in all three of those pieces of action coming together. So it's like you said, they don't get finished. They're not even huge finishers themselves. I think we're in for 15 minutes of scrapping.
Yeah, like Macy Barber came into the UFC and I think won her first four fights by KO, but then has not had a finish in her last five or six fights now.
It's five in a row.
Yeah, five in a row, all gone to a decision. I kind of feel like that trend continues. Like Andrea Lee is pretty tough, dude. I could just see it going to a decision. And the funniest thing about you saying this is I have a note written down. Maybe I'll just parlay the over 2.5 in both the women's main card fights. I don't know.
Yeah, that number's come down a little bit because looking at DraftKings right now, I think it says it's -255 or -265 for the over. But, you know, previously the over pairing those two together was paying you out at like -120 or something close to it.
All right. In terms of the fight itself, I think Macy Barber is going to win, but I don't think I'm -265 confident enough to play that.
The same, man. It's I'm exactly the same. I spent so much time trying because I knew we were going to have these conversations. I was like, this won't be good content. I got to dig deep. Let's find something different. Let's find a new angle, a new slant. It's like, nope, like Macy Barber is a little bit better of an athlete than Andrea Lee. And she's probably going to outwork her and maybe even can out-wrestle her a little bit because Andrea Lee's not like a great defensive wrestler, but I can't lay -270 on her or whatever the price is. So it's just, but I don't want to bet on Andrea Lee as an underdog either. So This is just finding the props and the totals and attacking those this week is the name of the game.
Yeah, the good news is you don't have to bet on Andrew Lee as an underdog.
I sure don't, and I'm sure not going to.
That's the
so it's, you know, just all of my bets this week, almost all of them are just overs and unders.
Mine are all overs and unders and the one Cheeto by decision prop. I even have a boxing bet and it's a prop. And now that I'm going to do this women's overs bet, that will also be a prop.
How do you feel about this? Because this was the other line that I kind of at least flirted with. I mean, we both have the same read on it. We're just a barber by decision, you know? It's looking like it'll open around minus 125. There's not a price out yet that I see, but...
I don't hate that. If I did take that, though, then I wouldn't take the parlay. Do not want to be overexposed on a fight like this.
That's sort of my exact thought. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, I don't need to double bet this, so I'd rather just have this as the parlay include.
Plus, I can just see it now. Either this fight or the Holly Holm fight goes to the scorecards and you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not really sure who won that fight. And you're just like, hoping for the best. Let's hope for the best.
Who's Bruce Buffer standing behind?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think I'm just going to take the over 2.5 parlay.
That's where I'm at. But I just wanted to throw it out. There's maybe if you are a listener and you don't want to be in the totals parlay game, barber by decision is maybe not the worst thing you've ever done.
Yeah, it feels like this is a fight she's going to win.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it rolling to a main card fight that I know we both have action on.
What?
Men's flyweight bout, Alex Perez.
How could you know that?
Manel Kopp, because it is what I said it is. It's a men's flyweight bout. The over-under is set at 2.5. Right now, you can get the under. Man, can we talk about DraftKings, like the props and the money lines just being out of order? Like, can we talk about them just being out of order, though? Under minus 155, over plus 125. I mean this.
I was going to say, I mean, do we even need to talk about this fight, really? Other than that this is the other fight to be excited about on this card. Like,
well, here's
Nate
Landwehr
fighting
about.
Is fun, but...
Oh, yeah.
This fight is sick.
Four of the six main card fights I'm pretty excited for. Like, first of all, is this fight going to happen? Alex Perez has had 8 fights canceled in the last 2 years.
It's only 8? Honestly,
He has like 11 or 12 in the last 4 years. And now, like, granted, they're not all of his fault, but like, just period, the dude has a tough time getting to the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old adage, you know. Sure, they may not all be his fault, but if you wake up in the morning and you run into an asshole, you ran into an asshole. If you wake up in the morning and you run into an asshole all day long, you're the asshole, you know. May not be his fault, but keeps happening. What's the common denominator here? So
yeah, I like that.
I'm gonna say it happens because this fight rules, and I don't want it. This is easily the second best fight of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned.
When Perez does make it to the octagon, he puts on bangers
and he hits unders.
I was gonna say 6 of his last 7 have ended in the first round. 5 of Kopp's last 8 have not seen a third round.
Eight of Perez's 10 UFC bouts, if you're also including the Contender Series bout, which I generally do for that sort of stat, hit the under 2.5. I mean, Perez is a champion of flyweight unders. He lives by the code.
He doesn't even make us sweat him, dude. No. 6 of the last 7 have ended in the first round. And Manel Kopp has big power.
I mean, Kopp can certainly get it done. Kopp's been a little less of a flyweight under champion in his UFC stint.
That's what I said. Each one of these flyweight fights, we have a warrior. We have a champion. We have a strong representative of flyweight under nation. In this one, it's Alex Perez, and he's getting a pretty good dance partner in Manel Kopp.
Plus, I just want to say that I think Manel Kopp has been a bit of a victim of circumstance because he's awesome. Hits incredibly dynamic and exciting striker. Super underrated grappling. Dude can finish. He just sort of hasn't broken out that way, given some of his pairings. I mean, Alexander Pantoja, insanely durable. Mateus Nicolau, super, super good fighter. So I think that we can't call him an enemy of the state. He's had a tough go.
No, not an enemy of the state. That David Dvorak one, it felt like that was going to finish a couple times.
Like a thousand times.
Yeah, that was not fun to watch. Hopefully we don't have the same thing here. In terms of the money line, I'm not ready to like put the nail in the coffin on Alex Perez. I didn't play him as a dog, but if he's finding success, if he's anything, you know, similar to what he's capable of, like this isn't going to be a walk in the park for Manel Cobb. I see a lot of people like, you know, emptying the clip on Manel Cobb. I don't know. I don't feel that confident. I'm only on the under. I'm not trying to get double exposed on any of these fights. So yeah, I'm just riding with the under, but Perez could be live, especially if he doesn't struggle to make weight.
I largely agree with you. I'm not betting Cobb. I am going to be placing another bet. I say going to, because I don't have the line option available to me at the moment, but just going to go a little flyer on something. Cobb by submission. Ooh. +650. I know how much you love a sub prop bet.
Wow.
I know how much you love a sub prop bet. So I'm glad to hear that, frankly, you weren't also on this sub prop bet, because then I would just rip up the ticket immediately. But five of Perez's seven career losses have been by submission. And while we think of Cobb as this dynamic striker, which he is, a lot of subs. He's got five submission finishes in his resume. And you watch the man fight. He's got some trickeration, you know. Was deep on the Kimura against David Dvorak, like another couple of seconds at the end of that first round, and that's a wrap. Like that's getting a tap. So I was feeling a little frisky, and I'll also just be honest, I was looking at a card with almost no bets on it. I was like, I can throw a little sprinkle
on
sub at 650.
I don't mind that play. I mean, Alex Perez, like that is the weird thing. Like he's kind of a killer be killed guy, but most of the times he's getting killed, it's by submission.
It's I'm not anticipating a win here, but it could be fun. So why not for just a little quarter unit, you know?
I mean, four of his last five losses have come by submission. A prayer choke back in 2015.
Yeah, he's sneakily has been tapped a lot in his career. And again, sneaky Manel Cobb got sneaky submission game to him. So
nice.
You know, I'll take just a guillotine in transition. Perez gets a little overexcited, shooting a double, wrap up the ghillie. So it's a wrap. We're done.
Sounds good to me, man. It sounds good to me because that's a flyweight
under. First round, flyweight under. Let's just all move on. Let's go. We're all going to Sizzler.
Let's all go to Sizzler and let's move on in this main card. Next up, last one on the main card. Actually, it'll be the first one on Saturday afternoon. Men's middleweight bout, Chidi Njokani taking on Albert Duraev. Right now, you can have Chidi for -165, Albert Duraev +140. I mean, I'm looking forward to this one, dude. I think this is going to be a banger. Like most of the fights that Chidi gets into are bangers. All four of his UFC and Dana White Contender Series fights ended in KO. 18 of his 30 pro fights have ended in KO, win or lose. Like, He comes in to bang, and I'm down with it. Honestly, from a money line standpoint, like Duraev has been dropped in both of his UFC fights, and I mean he was just getting beat up against Joaquin Buckley and
batted around the cage, yeah,
like essentially forced to stop. And I think that's a really real scenario of happening again here against Chidi.
I agree with you in that. Again, I don't. This one is, I was pretty close to a money line pull on Chidi just because I am very much in alignment with your view on this. Got some big physical advantages too. Super tall, super long reach against Duraev. It seems like it lines up very well, but maybe I'm just being overly cautious. But it's like, I don't know. I can see a world where Duraev can maybe score a couple of takedowns, sit on Chidi for a little while, and then this fight gets ugly in a way that's bad for me, and I don't want to be laying -175.
Well, I did the same thing because I didn't play the money line either.
Yeah, it's just I just couldn't do it. Are you taking any prop action on this?
Nah, I actually have no bets on it. I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy. Maybe same. like a fight ends by KO if they give you a good enough price, but
I really doubt it because looking at these lines, this, for whatever reason, this card to me just looks like they are actually like, we don't want action because none of these lines are inciting me to drop money on them.
I wonder if fight doesn't go to a decision is a decent parlay piece. Minus 285.
Yeah, maybe. It's not the worst thing I've ever heard. Thing, I'm out on this fight. I'm not making any bets just because I don't feel like I have a good enough sense of it. Nothing's calling to me. There are no vibes here. But if it's going to, like, if I'm just predicting, I think Chidi's going to knock him out in like the second round, probably third round. But I don't have any feeling to put money down behind that prediction.
Yeah, like I wonder if like I throw in fight doesn't go into the women's over parlay, get it to plus money.
Remember, you don't have to bet.
Oh, no, of course.
You're just trying to get one through the hoop this week. This is a week to get one through the hoop. Just clock a couple of green figures. We take a week off, come back reinvigorated, ready to kill 287.
All right. Well, I could get that parlay up to plus 150. Man,
who needs a plus money parlay?
Not me.
It's unnecessary.
Instead, I'll lay minus 116 and enjoy when Macy Barber gets a first round knockout.
That's perfectly fine. It's perfectly that enjoy. At least it'll be fun if that happens. At least something cool will have happened in that fight. So
Yeah, I guess so. All right, next up.
And that's the end of the main card.
That's the main card.
We are flying, guys, and partly we're flying because we don't have any action down. So sorry for that, dear listeners.
Yeah, I mean, what is this? Is this the eighth straight week we've had UFC? Ninth straight week we've had UFC?
It's a lot. Hold on, I'll figure that out. But it's a goodly number. What are we at?
I think.
Yeah, this will be eight.
I think it's like 10 of the last 11 too since that very first card of the year.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, since the first card of the year, we got the last week of January is like the only week we've had off, really. We've just been flying. So it is what it is. It's okay for us to, you know, pull back a little bit.
I like it. All right. Let's hop on to the prelims. Next up, we've got Daniel Pineda taking on Tucker Lutz. Right now, you can have Pineda, the return, plus 235.
I'm excited to hear you talk about this one.
Tucker Lutz, minus 280. Yeah, I mean, it really isn't too complicated for me. I took the under 2.5. There's obviously question marks surrounding Daniel Pineda. Hasn't fought in 2 years. Last time we did see him out, he was getting cooked by Andre Fili before the eye poke. He's 37. But what I do know about Daniel Pineda, he is a kill or be killed fighter. He has never won a decision in his career. Dude has gone under the 2.5, 11 straight fights, 44 career fights. Let's not even count the no contest last time out against Andre Fili because of the eye poke. 43 career fights, 38 of them have gone under the 2.5, including 23 in the first round. He just makes fights chaotic. He just brings the pressure. He either makes a good decision and gets a finish or makes a bad decision and gets finished himself. Under 2.5. It was at a playable price, minus 155. And that's what I went with.
That's actually pretty decent, minus 155.
Yeah, that's what I went with.
I don't hate it. Understand your logic. My concerns here, what kept me away is just Tucker Lutz has not been getting a lot of finishes.
I can agree with that.
Bunch of fights, four decisions in a row, in his UFC and contender series. And the big long layoff for Daniel Pineda is just like, okay, I don't really know what to expect here when you're gone that long. Even though he has, you know, done some grappling, apparently, Fight Pass invitationals. His Tapology is incredible to look at just because he's got two draws from grappling and then three of his most recent five fights are no contests, which is just not a visual you usually get that much gray out on Tapology. But I just passed, but I'll be cheering for it.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Always support you in your dreams.
All right. Well, let's keep it rolling. Next up, it is a welterweight bout. Trevin Giles taking on Preston Parsons. Right now, you can get Giles for minus 110, Preston Parsons for 110. Pick your poison. What is the poison that you will be having this week?
I'm so excited because yes. I've been waiting for a while to do this.
Okay.
I had a gimmick idea, Connor. All right. I didn't share it with you because I wanted to just unveil it. I wanted to get your real-time reaction.
Yes, real-time.
This was exactly the week. There weren't a lot of bets down that I was like, I need to find a little bit more action. This is a pick 'em fight. So here's what I did, Connor. Have you heard about this thing called ChatGPT?
I have.
It's big in the news these days. The kids love this AI
thing. Yeah. Here's 11 ways ChatGPT can change your life.
Well, I decided, what if ChatGPT can change our gambling life?
Oh, God. Wow.
What if, Connor, what if we could ask ChatGPT to determine a fight outcome for us? It will not determine fight outcomes. If you just go to ChatGPT and you say, hey, who's going to win this Trevin Giles Preston Parsons fight? It won't give you an answer. It'll tell you, that's not my job. I don't do that. I found some ways around some things. And so I put this to the test for ChatGPT. I want to read you exactly, not the whole thing, because it was a whole big long thing. I want to read you a selected quote from ChatGPT about this very fight. Its prediction of this fight, as you will, and it's going to determine how I bet. I've got two options on the bet. I'm going to let you help me figure out which it goes. Here's what ChatGPT says about Trevin Giles versus Preston Parsons. The fight was intense from the start, with Trevin launching powerful punches and kicks, while Preston darted in and out of range, landing quick strikes and grappling moves. The two men seemed evenly matched. Wow. The crowd was on the edge of their seats, cheering and gasping as the fighters battled on. In the end, it was Preston who emerged victorious. With a lightning-fast move that caught Trevin off guard, he managed to take him down and hold him in a submission hold until he tapped out.
Wow.
So ChatGPT is saying Trevin Giles is going to get submitted by Preston Parsons. Oddly enough, I want to be clear. I did not say when I was figuring this out, I wasn't like, here are the two guys. It was pretty loosely. Oddly enough, 9 of Parsons' 10 career wins are in fact by submission. And Giles has been submitted twice. So I'm going to be betting on Preston Parsons. The question, and originally when I conceived it, I was just going to bet him straight up since it's a pick 'em fight. Do I bet Trevin or do I bet Preston Parsons straight up?
You bet it by submission.
You
bet it by submission. This is the biggest no-brainer I've ever had in my life. You bet it by submission.
This is why I asked. Okay, so then my bet will be Preston Parsons by sub. Look, no action. I don't see that line out on DraftKings at the moment, but looks like it's going to be about plus two. It's going to be plus 275, plus 300 is. So that's the bet. And this is my new gimmick. When there are down weeks where I'm looking for something, I'm going to see if ChatGPT can take us to a winning better.
If this hits, this will be one of the most magical moments I've ever witnessed in my life.
Can you tell why I was so excited about this? Like, hell yeah. So
I mean, this is an ingenious play. The only way to find out is to experiment. The only way to find out.
You know I love experiments.
The only way to find out is to find out. So ChatGPT.
The ChatGPT bet of the week.
Could become the newest member of No Bets Barred. This could be a three-host, a three-ring circus here if ChatGPT is successful. Is the answer to my kryptonite not being able to call a submission bet ChatGPT? AI?
Look, it's answering a lot of things, AI. And so I've said it many times. We're a podcast of science. We have a theory. That's what we do. And that's what we do. We're going to see Preston Parsons by submission, the first official No Bets Barred ChatGPT bet.
No Bets Barred ChatGPT bet, the NBB CGPTB.
Rolls right off the tongue.
It's just that easy. I mean, this this has great potential. This has great potential. I'm not taking it. This is your experiment. This is your, you know, I guess hill to die on. But I'm going to be cheering it on.
If this hits, I'm going to be the most excited you've ever seen me.
The hashtag NBBCGPTB. I mean, literally just
Let's get it trending on Saturday.
Hashtag NBBCGPTB. If you're going to tweet at me, make sure you use that hashtag until Preston Parsons gets the sub.
Let's do it, baby.
All right. And let's roll right from the NBBCGPTB into another men's flyweight bout. CJ Vergara I'm telling you, this is the no bet barred card. Three flyweight unders. I don't know when we're going to get another one, but we're going to have to take advantage here. 2-1, that's all I ask. And I think we're going to get that. I'm actually going to Joe Namath it.
Oh, I love that. I love the confidence.
I'm going to guarantee we go 2-1 on flyweight unders. I just did it.
Fantastic.
I'm still hoping
for 3-0, but
No. 3-0 can happen, but we're going at least 2-1. And let me tell you why. CJ Vergara taking on Daniel Da Silva. Daniel Da Silva, if you've ever been to Flyweight Unders Nation, has a statue erected.
We do love
in his
him
honor.
Here.
I said each one of these Flyweight Unders has a soldier from the Nation of Flyweight Unders. And one of our best is Daniel Da Silva. 15 fights. 13 first round finishes. Has never.
That's a lot.
Ever in his life seen a scorecard. He has never even seen a third round, Mr. Daniel Da Silva. He comes in and he's trying to finish you. And for the first 90 seconds, for the first 2 minutes, it very well looks like he could. And then he kind of falls off a cliff, and then he gets finished by you. It's two options. He's either going to finish you early or you're going to finish him late in the first round. I mean, the guy is allergic to third rounds and scorecards. Now, here's my issue. On the flip side, if you remember, CJ Vergara, last time out, he was slated to fight Tatsuro Taira. Over-under was set at 2.5. After some deep research, his Instagram bio had bet the over in it.
That's right.
Now we're going to give CJ Vergara a pass because he's removed that from his Instagram bio. And something that I want to also think about that we need to acknowledge, CJ Vergara is from none other than San Antonio, Texas. This is a homecoming for him. What better way to have a homecoming than with a first round finish against Daniel Da Silva?
I mean, I would certainly hope that in front of his hometown crowd, he's not trying to bet the overs. So
I would hope not. No, we do have to say it. As great as Daniel Da Silva's record is for playing an under 1.5, I mean, like if this was a 2.5, I would feel so, so confident. But the books are obviously wise to that. It's like a -380. It's like a -400. It's going to be ridiculous when that comes out. CJ Vergara has only gone under the 1.5 four times in his 15-fight career. We're not here to make narratives. We're not here to lie about things. We're here to be straightforward. You have to know what you're getting into. There's a world where CJ Vergara does extend this. But I'm going to say that Daniel Da Silva makes it crazy, makes it wild. CJ Vergara is tough. He survives, and then he gets the finish in the first round in front of the San Antonio crowd.
I couldn't break this fight down any better. You know, this is exactly what we're always about. I feel very confident that Daniel Da Silva is not going to let us down. He simply doesn't want to let the flyweight unders down. It's not
he didn't
he
last
the
time.
Person.
He unfortunately lost his Tatsuro Taira, but he did not let us down last time.
It's not who he is. It's not in his makeup to disappoint us like this. So I'm feeling okay about this one.
It's 1.5s are just. They're
tricky
tough.
Proposition.
They're hard because from the second the fight starts, you're like, finish.
Gotta get one
just
early.
Just be over. Yeah, there's nothing worse than starting that second round and you have the under 1.5. Hopefully, we don't have to worry about that. All right, let's keep it rolling. Lightweight bout, Manuel Torres taking on Trey Ogden. Again, I'm playing an under where I really only have one side that loves to get finishes. It wasn't like a, there's no real one this week that's like a marriage of like two finishers that can be finished as well. And then you're just like, it's the biggest no-brainer ever.
Mm-hmm.
I present to you Manuel Torres. 13-2. Pretty good fighter. Exciting fighter, that's for sure. 15 fights, 14 first round finishes, win or lose for the guy. Now, what will he look like in round two? I don't know. So I played the under 2.5. There's a world Trey Ogden extend this. We've seen him do that before. Last time out against Zell Huber, just very tricky. Zell Huber couldn't figure him out, wrote it out, gets an easy decision win. There's a world where that happens. But Trey Ogden, 14 of his 21 fights have gone under the 2.5. So he does have a finishing capability. Just the way Manuel Torres fights, going back and watching some of his tape, he's very Daniel Da Silva-esque. Now, most of the time, he's getting wins rather than, you know, getting finished himself. I'm going to take it at under 2.5 minus 155. I feel comfortable taking the under. Prove me wrong, Manuel Torres. Don't actually, though.
Yeah, don't prove.
Don't actually.
I, man, we really just, this whole card, it is just all overs and unders. Just.
Yes, I'm taking a lot of props. And I'm cheering for violence.
Part of total bets.
I'm cheering for violence, except for the women's fly, except for the women's bouts on the main card and then the main event itself.
Boom. I love your breakdown. I'm not joining you. I'm locked into where I'm at, and I'm also cheering for violence in all fights, though.
I like it. I like it because I got one more violence play for you, and that just happens to be a men's flyweight bout. Vinicius Salvador taking on Victor Altamirano. Again, Victor Altamirano. We've seen him get finishes. We saw him last time out against Daniel Da Silva, but he is very live to go to a decision. He can use wrestling. He can extend fights. That is very live. I've got good news for you, though. Like I said, we have a representative from Flyweight Nation, Flyweight Unders Nation in each of these fights. And in this one, it is Vinicius Salvador, our very own Vinicius Salvador. 18 pro fights, 17 have gone under the 2.5. 14 wins for our man Vinicius, 13 by knockout. I'm just going to say Altamirano is going to have to deal with that pressure. He's going to have to engage in a firefight and someone is going to get put out.
Can also just, I mean, I'm not saying that anything that was said about Altamirano isn't true, but it should be noted. The last time Altamirano fought a champion of the flyweight under lifestyle, delivered a first round win. Daniel Da Silva. True. The last time he fought this guy, a guy who doesn't want to be going into the third round, we saw what happened. So I believe in both parties here to deliver us a finish in 7 seconds or 7 minutes or less.
Oh, you're on the under 1.5.
Yeah.
I saw a DraftKings move that I took it on. Is DraftKings it? 2.5 yesterday. Have you taken it yet?
Oh yeah, I did. Well, what's the price for 2.5?
Minus 115. I was going to say you should wait for the under 2.5 to come out on other books.
Oh, well, alas, here we are.
Yeah. I don't know why they put it out and then moved it.
Who can say? But still, plus I get plus money on it, so it's cool. I accept that.
That is cool.
Because
that
is cool. 7 minutes or less, baby. I'm believing in them.
7 minutes in a dream. That's all we've got in this dumb little life of ours.
It's all we have.
I mean, seven dreams and a little bit of hope. That's going to do it.
I was going to say, you know what else we have? Nothing, because we've done it.
That's going to do it for this one. I mean, if you were looking for some hard-hitting analysis on Steven Peterson, Lucas Alexander, I'm sorry, we can't provide that for you. Same thing with the Vidal Kalin fight. Nothing on those. A lot of props.
I will say I almost bet Vidal just because I don't think Haley Cowan should be a favorite over anybody, but I also
that Haley Cowan line is weird. She opened at like plus 200 and then plummeted to like minus 150. Sketchy.
That's super sketchy. I also just don't think I want to put money on Tamir Vidal, but bet that fight.
I was gonna say, you know what, I like go outside and enjoy like a nice spring afternoon, a nice spring Saturday, and you know, maybe
lovely this weekend.
Maybe show up 30 minutes late to the fight card. 4 o'clock start. Can't really complain there.
Rolling at 4:30.
Yeah, should be done. Should be out by 10 o'clock. Nice, easy. Clean, hopefully green. I do have one last bet in boxing. Ooh, David Benavidez is taking on Caleb Plant.
Yes, sir. Big fight.
Undefeated David Benavidez. 23 of his 26 wins by knockout. Caleb Plant, the one loss to Canelo Alvarez. What I did do, a little plus money action. Benavidez is juiced to the moon. Couldn't take him. Thought about taking Plant. Didn't really feel too comfortable just because he does fade late. And Benavidez has insane power. What I did do, I took David Benavidez to win in rounds 7 to 12. I think because this is one of his toughest tests in Caleb Plant, I think it's going to go later. And if you look at it, 7 of his last 10 wins by KO have come between rounds 7 through 12. Caleb Plant is one loss, being to Canelo, obviously one of the GOATs, came by 11th round TKO. I think he goes longer, but I think Benavidez finds the finish. Plus 145, I don't mind it. Little Boom. To win a unit action, you know. Boom. So not laying the full unit down, to win a unit.
We cover all sports here, guys. And now y'all know. Now you're ready for the weekend.
Oh, and combat sports? Absolutely. Boxing, I very much enjoy betting on. Very much enjoy betting on it.
Every once in a while, I mostly just enjoy watching boxing.
Oh, it's the big fights. The big fights I got to watch, got to bet. Anthony Joshua next week.
Next weekend, a whole lot of things are happening next weekend. So many things. Fight
got a strike. Got a strike for the UFC off week.
I mean, those are honestly some of the best weekends when there's no UFC going on because everything else is happening. But that's for later because we're done.
That is for later. That is absolutely for later. Are we doing a show next week? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Let's reconvene. Yeah. And we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Bellator
seems
and
unlikely because that Bellator card is awful, like yeah. A special level of terrible.
Brendan Lognane, Marlon Moraes.
That's one fight. Also, I don't even think that's a good fight to bet on because Lognane's gonna be a massive favorite. I don't know if the Masvidal boxing thing is even gonna have lines out. So
maybe there's a world where we just hop on, we go like 15 minutes. We just say, here are our bets. This is what we're doing. Here are our bets. I'll leave us alone.
Maybe we
either way. If not, we'll see you in 2 weeks because we got another UFC pay-per-view coming up. 287 down in Miami. Cannot wait for that one. It's going to be fantastic. Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira for the second time they'll be facing each other in the UFC, though. Going to be fantastic. That's it for us. We'll see you next week. But if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. You'll hear from us soon. I know that much. Enjoy the weekend. We're out.
Love y'all.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Lofnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.